In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. From Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Faith is to inhabit a language. When it comes to faith, we think we speak in our own individual voices. But what lies deep in our consciousness is a recollection of the speech and the shared images of the community conserved over millennia and cross-referenced in scripture and in hymn. Faith lies embedded in the web of language and common prayer. Our declarations of faith are made up of quotations that coalesce in our shared imaginations and are stored in texts. We draw on that store, especially when we recite luminous texts like, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." This prophecy of the future, made 27 centuries ago, is about an event that happened 20 centuries ago that we anticipate and expect to happen every Advent. Time and again, we know that at this season we shall look forward to what has already occurred. It's rather like the Lord's Prayer for the kingdom to come, "Adveniat regnum tuum," when the kingdom, we are well assured, is already burgeoning within us and came with power at Pentecost. December the 21st is a good time to think about time, because it is the year's midnight and marks the lowest part in the solar cycle. But it is also a harbinger of the return of the light of the sun and the coming of the light of the world. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. We live in several time schedules. At one and the same time, Advent recapitulates the anticipation of the future, and it imitates the annual procession of the seasons. The rhythms of the natural world and of the history of salvation intersect. Yet we are also living, whether we like it or not, according to a contemporary commercial calendar, accompanied by Christmas jingles that have nothing to do with Christmas, and school plays that often have nothing to do with the Nativity. The calendar that runs from Good Friday to the morning of the resurrection and the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, and from the waiting of Advent to the awakening of the heart on the happy morning of Christmas, has little to do with the mad consumer buying and selling of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. One calendar has to do with consumption and profits, the other with prophecy, with a time for the gifts of hope, faith, and love, with a new birth and a rebirth, and remembrance of a blessed time and anticipation of a time of blessing. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. behold, thy king comes to thee. That sequence of quotations from Handel's Messiah unites anticipations of the future with two versions of the present. In Handel's Messiah, it is preceded by verses from the prophet Malachi, as it were, on the very last page of the Old Testament, that prophesy and anticipate the future. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Here in these quotations, we have an anticipated future and a present that is immediate, here and now, and we also have a continuous present, an arrival that happens daily and new every morning. Bach's cantata, Sleepers Awake, Wacket auf, ruf uns die Stimme, is also like that. In typical Advent fashion, it proclaims this is the midnight hour, here and now, when the watchmen on the city walls call on Jerusalem to greet the dayspring from on high. Then it speaks of a continuous arrival, a miraculous renewed presence, in the love language of the Song of Songs. Daughters of Zion, enter into your mother's house, because the bridegroom comes like a young hart skipping upon the hills, inviting you and bringing you to the wedding feast. As I said at the beginning, this is the year's midnight, but we find ourselves at the intersection of several time schedules, calling up one range of imagery after another, from scripture and from him, and from scripture embedded in him. The sudden arrival of the messenger of the covenant, the watchman calling from the battlements, the lover and the bridegroom already present and prepared for the wedding feast. This is a collage of recollections drawn from the past about the future and from the continuous present that reminds us the church is a community of recollection, constantly recalling the past, and a community of resurrection, hope, and anticipation, rejoicing in all that is already present and still to come. There is another hymn on the Advent theme that recalls a different range of images. And here we're back to Bach again, because the organ choral preludes that accompany Advent include Nun komm der Heiden Heiland, Come now, Redeemer of the Gentiles, alongside Wacket auf, Sleepers Awake. The range of shared images in Nun komm der Heiden Heiland goes back, first of all, to a Latin hymn written by St. Ambrose in Milan 1600 years ago, Veni Redemptor Gentium. And Ambrose's hymn completes the quotation in our text. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. We are now at the heart of Advent, God present in and with our humanity. And Ambrose's hymn proceeds immediately to the truth of the Incarnation, by the power of the Spirit, God became man. But then it calls up an even more ancient image from the Book of Wisdom that is then applied to the coming of the Redeemer. This image includes the theme of peace and quiet all over the earth at the time of Christ's birth. There was not only music and merriment, but peace and quiet. The Book of Wisdom, chapter 18, says, "All things were lying in peace and quiet, and night in her course was half spent, when your all-powerful word leapt from your royal throne." Peace on earth comes down at midnight when you least expect it. The Latin and the German hymns speak of the divine word proceeding from his chamber, from the pure realm of his royal palace. And the English hymn, O come Emmanuel, or Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, picks up this theme when it evokes the divine wisdom on the feast of O Sapientia, which was celebrated earlier this week as part of 8 days of preparation for Christmas. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. And that provides the theme of our Advent prayer from the Vespers for Christmas. Let us pray. When all things were in quiet and silence, and night was in the midst of her course, thine almighty word, O Lord, leapt down out of thy royal throne. Alleluia.